Welcome back to America's Next Top Podcaster. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. This isn't Brian. It's that guy, Alex. Well, that's right. And as you heard on the reunion show, we're taking the idea that I had to interview previous contestants from this show, America's Next Top Podcaster, and we're going to take it up a notch. You'll not only hear about our previous contestants, you're going to hear more perspectives from one-on-one interviews I'll be having with the judges, you know, Nicole, Scott, and Jury. We'll also talk to Tom. You'll hear more from Hammond. And today, we are kicking it all off with your host, Brian Nibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello. See, oh, so easy. It seems so easy, doesn't it?
It's so easy. Oh, God, the pressure. How does it feel being on the other end of this?
It feels really good, actually, being on the other end of this. This was as much fun as it was. There was so much stress involved. And since, and it's not the stress of, like, you know, doing a weekly podcast, because I do that all the time, right? I do, you know, plenty of weekly podcasts, maybe too
many. How many podcasts are on your belt now?
That's a really good question. All right. So Coverville, TMS, Film Sack, Soundography, the Pokemon Go podcast. Am I forgetting anything? Oh, and America's Next Top Podcaster. So
yeah,
six.
Well, hey, that's kind of important.
Yeah, six a week, but it's, but that wasn't as much the stress as I'll tell you, it's funny. I haven't even talked about this, but the biggest stress that comes with something like this is the integrity of it, because the last thing you want to do is have someone say, well, no, what you did wasn't fair to this person because they didn't have this same opportunity this other person had, or because of an error that so-and-so made, this person went home. You know, the whole thing was like making sure that there were the same number of yards on each side of the field and end zone was the same width across and things like that. It was a lot of that was the one aspect of this that I wanted to make sure was always treated fairly or treated respectfully was the integrity of the show.
Yeah. Do you feel like you accomplished that?
That aspect of it, yeah, for sure. I can't think of anything.
Glad you did.
Even though some of the players had relationships, not relationships, but friendships with the judges. I mean, Monica's been a friend to Scott and I think even Jury over the years, just has become such a major part of this community that mm-hmm. if someone were to say, well, Amy's part of the Frog Pants group, so of course she won. But you could also say the same, well, you know, Monica's part of the Frog Pants group and Rishi's been ingrained in this. And I've hung out with Rishi and he didn't get any special treatment. As a matter of fact, he went out totally earlier than I expected him to go out. But, I feel like everything was handled very fairly. Everything was handled very honestly. And, that is the biggest stress off my mind.
Yeah. And I mean, even with me, just thinking about me, I haven't been as involved with the community. This right. competition has gotten me more involved in the community, which has been awesome. It's always something I've wanted to do. I just hadn't for, I don't even know the reason. I just didn't. Right.
Yeah, by default. I mean, just the fact that you guys were talking to Scott and Justin and Nicole and Tom and me and Hammond every week, that kind of pulls 12 new people into this community. Even though one person is getting their show on the feed, you guys are all kind of part of this now. Like when we're walking down the hallways, we won't just kind of do that little head nod thing, man. We'll stop and say, hey, how's it going? What happened in biology class today?
That's right. We all have our battle scars from this.
We're all part experience. Of the breakfast club is basically what we are. You know, it's come Monday, we're all hanging out on the jock blocks.
That's right. You know, and part of this interview process and what I'll be doing with everybody kind of down the road and what we'll be doing today is learning a little bit more behind the personality that people hear on this show. That's something that Justin has mentioned a number of times, is understanding, like learning more about the people behind the microphone. Something I wanted to dive in a little bit more is that, you know, people who listen to shows like TMS and probably other shows that you do know that you have a passion for reality shows. You love watching them. You love talking about them. Why was it so meaningful to you to have something like this for you personally?
Well, and let me clarify that it's not just kind of a blanket thing across the board. There are some shows that I like for the for the actual, I think, gameplay value of them. I feel like Survivor is one of those shows that kind of has that same integrity. You know, every reality show out there has editing tricks to kind of make it sound like something's going on between these two people and something's going on between those two people. But I do feel like Survivor, one of the ones that I do watch, is very much, you know, kind of in the line that I would want it to be, very, a lot of integrity. But you've got the problem with Survivor is you've got those alliances and those things that brew underneath that make people, I don't know, you watch a show like that and you've kind of got this uneasy feeling like, oh man, I don't like it when, you know, those two people are fighting. I want to see like happy agreement across the board with all the contestants. And then you look at something like the British Bake Off or even Face Off for that matter, another couple shows that I do like watching. And again, I feel like the integrity is there. And I feel like the editors aren't there to make it feel like there's drama where there really isn't drama just for drama's sake. When some dude is making a mask, a latex mask, and it tears coming out of the mold, we're all like, oh crap, he's got to be devastated. And he is devastated and he should be devastated because he's, you know, down with that little amount of time left. But when a real housewife of Beverly Hills is frustrated once again that another real housewife of Beverly Hills is not inviting her to her party, that kind of stuff I just don't care about. So there's some reality shows, a good portion of reality shows that I don't care about. I even feel like the music-based ones, which you think would be the ones I'd be all over, those are the most misleading because it's so little has to do with how people sing, and it's more about how they market themselves, how they look, how they talk to the judges, especially when you're dealing with the ones where it's an audience vote. And and that's why I feel like, all right, well, that stuff. Plus, people like Bob Dylan, Elvis Costello.
Songwriters. Right? Like, it's not a glorified karaoke contest. It's a songwriting.
And we need those weird voices in our music. So and you don't get, you get beige when you pick musicians by committee, you get beige.
yeah, you're right. No, you're exactly right. Yeah. That's something I've always had a problem with. You know, my wife loves The Voice. I think that The Voice does a better job than most music competitions.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
And I, being a musician, I listen to them sing and I'm a singer and I can kind of like be like, okay, there's an appreciation there. But even as you get through that competition, they're voting for the young, pretty one and not necessarily the older one with that sounds a little more polished. I mean, nothing against younger. I mean, I'm a younger person, but it's just like, where's the authenticity? I don't know.
It feels like they start out with it real perfectly, right? They can't see the person. They're picking them just based on voice alone. And they almost need to do the entire competition with a bag over their head or something so that they continue to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The whole time. I mean, and that's something that I feel like you've done really well here is that you have created a very genuine atmosphere. There's not the bickering that you see in the Real Housewife situation. This is a competition that actually promotes collaboration, which I was really, really happy about. So is that the intention moving forward?
It is. Yeah. I mean, I'd like, this was a very good template season. I think you might've asked me or somebody asked me during the reunion show, what I would change for next season. And it was really hard for me. It's still really hard for me to come up with something that, that I would change. I mean, I think, probably one of the, and not even really a complaint, but one of the things that people seem to notice were that we had a few voices or a couple voices in the competition that were a little harder to discern. And when Hammond and I went through and we picked the contestants for this round, that's something that we never really considered. We didn't say, oh, you know, so-and-so sounds a little bit like that person. Is it going to cause any confusion in the game? And finding 12 people with 12 unique sounds is difficult. I'm looking forward to trying that next season, just seeing if that's an actual attainable task or if there's always going to be confusion. But everything else about this season, it felt like a good template season.
It really did. It honestly, and this is me just being a contestant in the thick of it.
From the other side. Yeah.
Yeah, it felt great to be a part of. It felt polished, honestly. It felt great. And yeah, this is what I'm going to be asking folks as we're coming down to the last question here. What was the biggest surprise about season one here?
Well, one of the biggest surprises was that that three people, or four people if you include me, had such widely varying opinions week by week. There were times that I was absolutely amazed that the judges voting went a certain way, or that one person in the judges panel voted a certain way. There were times that it was like, okay, you know, I think I agree most with jury this week, but boy, then the next week it's like, wait a minute, did we listen to the same show? Or I think out of everybody, I think Tom, I agreed the most with Tom, and he's not even a judge, and I'm not a judge. So maybe there's something to that, but that really surprised me. I thought that,
yeah. And did you and Tom actually exchange those notes like you talked about doing?
No, you know, it's funny. We talked about, we did a Final Four episode, but,
right. And there you mentioned, you said, hey, we got to look at our notes together.
I know. Like, yeah, exactly. I think we do need to do that. And I'm trying to figure out a way. And again, you know, it doesn't affect the integrity because neither of us are judges. So I think we just need to basically have that conversation at some point during the season and say, so do you agree with this person getting voted out? No, me neither. I didn't think so.
And just on that topic, do you feel like the lack of rigidity around certain qualifications for submission is a good thing? Or are you going to look to make it a little bit more rigid with the scoring next round?
Definitely going to make it a little bit more, increase the ways that the podcast gets scored. I really liked somebody's suggestion about having a few different metrics so that it's not just how well did you like this podcast, rate it from 1 to 10, because there are different aspects about that. Rishi's microphone issue, you know, ultimately one of the things that got him out would maybe have scored a 1 or 2, but then other parts of it would have gotten considered: the content, the delivery, whether or not the judges would subscribe to it, that sort of thing. And it might be a situation where it's like, wow, you know, if it weren't for that microphone issue, this would have been a, you know, much higher rated podcast. And I really do like that, it seems so obvious thinking about it now, but I really do like that introduction of more metrics for the judges voting. I think the 10-minute limit is still a good one for certain kinds of podcasts. It made sense to do the solo interview podcast a little bit longer, because that's not just respect to the podcasters, but also the people that they're interviewing. You don't want to have, you know, work really hard to get an interview with, somebody prominent, an idol, or a, you know, an inspiration to you, and then say, by the way, I'm only going to use 10 minutes of our discussion. It's like, all right, yeah, let's, you know, let's open that one up. But I do like the 10-minute limit because it does kind of help make the podcaster really think about the content and focus on the pacing and whether or not what they're trying to achieve is getting done. And if it can't get done in a certain amount of time, then that needs to be reevaluated, either the show or the concept or whatever.
Yeah, and I just know from my own experience doing that, when you said, oh, and you got to do this in 10 minutes, I'm sitting here like, God damn it, Brian.
Right,
what?
Yeah.
We do? But I'll tell you what, I am better for it on the other end of this, because it has made me realize what more I need to do in my own shows to make them really valuable to my listeners. So thank you for helping me get outside of my comfort zone.
Oh, dude, my pleasure. If we've all, and I can easily say that we've all taken something away from this, something new that we didn't know or do better coming out of this, I feel like that's success all around, for sure.
Totally. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ibbett. I will take things from here until season 2.
Sounds good. Excellent.
I'll keep your seat warm as we're talking to other contestants around here. So is there an email address or something that people can reach out to us to provide feedback about these interviews?
Yes, absolutely. Use the email address toppodcaster@gmail.com. And that's a great way to kind of get a hold of any of us. on the staff.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So that's been our first official episode of Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. Did I say that right?
You said it perfectly.
Excellent. Beautiful. Look at that. Yes. Nailed it. Nailed it, folks at home. We'll see you guys next time.